John chapter 8, starting at verse 12, going through to 20. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The Pharisees challenged him. "Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid." Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I came from or where I'm going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are right, because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two men is valid. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me." Then they asked him, "Where is your Father?" "You do not know me or my Father," Jesus replied. "If you knew me, you would know my Father also." He spoke these words while teaching in the temple area, near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him, because his time had not yet come.
Jess, there's a book for you. Come and get it afterwards, please. Basics for believers and how you build a Christian life. So that's yours, and you can have it later. Briefly, as we really need to conclude pretty significantly, I want to talk about John chapter 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Images of light are fairly obvious in our world. We have natural light, such as sun, moon, and stars. There's all the forms of light, like light bulbs, spotlights, floodlights, and a city at night shining with light in the darkness. The importance of light is, I think, rather obvious to us. We obviously can see where we're going. That's always helpful, particularly at night. Often light brings comfort to our lives when there's a scary darkness around. Often light makes clear what is dirty. So the white thing looks white until you hold it to the light and you discover it's not as clean as you thought it was. And yet darkness is also a place where we can hide. Keep people in the dark, we say. We don't want them to know what we've done. So somehow we try to keep it all in the dark and nobody knows. Because you don't fool God. The Bible tells us that darkness is light to God, so there's no hiding away anywhere. Images of light, importance of light, and they all form really the thinking behind Jesus as God's light. One day Jesus said to three of his disciples, "Let's go up a mountain." I don't know if these three disciples wanted to go up the mountain, but nonetheless, because Jesus said so, up they went. He didn't tell them why they were going up a mountain. He just announced that's what they were going to do. And so they climbed this mountain on the basis Jesus said so. And when they got to the top, Jesus was not interested in looking at the lovely view or get a t-shirt, "I climbed the top of the mountain." He seemed more interested in praying. Well, why couldn't he just prayed down below? Well, the disciples then had to settle down, because if they knew anything about Jesus, they knew that he would pray for a very long time. And he, of course, did. Maybe they got a bit bored, I don't know. And they certainly didn't want to pray with him. So they ended up getting sleepy. And then all of a sudden, this praying Jesus became all shiny, not because of some light behind him, but a light from within him. Now they were awake. Now everything was brilliant. Now they were glad they came up the mountain. What a view! And yet it was scary. A man, fully alight from within himself. You ever heard of it? Well, they had read stuff in the Bible that may have indicated to them where that light came from. When God made the world, the first thing he did was that he made light. When a man called Moses met God in the middle of a bush, the bush looked as if it was on fire, but it wasn't. It was because God, the God of light, was flamingly manifesting himself out of the bush. The Bible confirms that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And another verse in the Bible tells us that the Son, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. So when Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," he is making an incredible claim to be God, the God of light, revealing himself in human darkness. When Jesus spoke these words in John chapter 8, verse 12, it had been part of what was going on religiously in Jerusalem, a festival of tabernacles that was also part of a festival of light. At the temple area, a big courtyard, the four huge lights had gone out in the temple court now. The people, the previous evenings, had been full of joy. The singers had sung so happily. The dancers had danced so energetically. The musicians had played so nicely. And now there was darkness. They had celebrated the God who is only light and full of wonderful life. But now it was time to go home to their homes, having celebrated the God of light. Or had they? A voice sounds in the darkness. "I am the light of the world." It's the voice of a man speaking from the darkness of human life. The darkness of rebellion against God. The darkness of cruelty to others. The darkness of painful loss of loved ones. The darkness of guilty wrong on the inside and no way of getting clean. The darkness of feeling lonely and very insecure, particularly about the future. The darkness of violence and injustice, and the darkness of death. And into that darkness, our darkness, Jesus Christ spoke and speaks. "I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness, spiritually and morally, but have the light of life." It is quite simply an incredible claim. Jesus is not saying that he's one with some light on who God is and the way to know him. He is not suggesting that he's one of the many enlightened teachers about God. He is saying that he alone is God. God revealing himself in human darkness. It's an incredible claim, isn't it? It is a claim I think that our culture is massively uncomfortable with. Our culture at this present stage is demanding that all ways of living are equally valid, and there is no one way that is right for all human beings. And so it is arrogant to claim otherwise. And yet Jesus is making that claim in the 21st century, in Britain, in its multicultural reality. He is saying, into that context, "I alone am the light." Well, we might want to challenge that today. It's also an age that wants to challenge authority, isn't it? Any external authorities are to be suspiciously held at arm's length. Don't let anybody tell you how to live. You choose your own way of living. Whatever's true to you, you live that way. That's the thing, isn't it? And here is someone speaking to us. It's not just me that's speaking today. It's a big claim, I know. But I'm sticking myself clearly to the Bible, so I'm pretty confident that Jesus is actually addressing us through his truth, not through every word I say. I am the light of the world. We might want to challenge that. Certainly my culture wants to challenge that. What right has Jesus to make this claim? And Jesus would be quite clear, wouldn't he, in verse 14, because the Pharisees did challenge him. And they said, what right have you to make this claim? And he said, it's based on my identity. I know where I've come from. I know where I'm going. And you have no idea. So how can you make any judgment on me? But more than that, Jesus not only knows his own origin, which was, of course, eternity before the world began, and his destiny is now eternity after the world has ended. He also knows our origins as humanity. He was there when we were made, originally. And he will be there when we die. So you've got to reckon with this Jesus. We think we may escape him in life, but I can assure you, each of us will meet him. And he is the light of the world. So let's be clear, therefore, that here were these Jewish celebrators who had celebrated the God of light and the life that is in God, and yet they didn't recognize when God spoke truthfully and lovingly. And they challenged Jesus along these lines. You're only speaking on your own. How do we know it's true? I may say I've seen something, and you might want to question me on that. Maybe there would be a second witness to be wheeled out and would confirm the testimony. And so, in verses 16 to 18, Jesus says, there's another witness to me. I'm not on my own in what I say and what I do. But it's hardly a convincing witness, is it? Because he says, the Father is with me. Well, you can't see the Father. How does that prove anything? Isn't Jesus wise enough to know he's got to get better evidence for who he is than that? Oh, how wise we all are. We think we're so enlightened, and yet we're so dark. If you study the Gospels with an unprejudiced heart, and you just read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you have to come and ask a question. Who is this man? How can he say what he says, predicting what's going to happen perfectly in the future? And it did happen. The man who was able to heal people and raise them from the dead. The man who could calm a storm just by saying the words, be still. And yet more importantly, the man who rose again from the dead. Our issue of miracle with miracles is this. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, God never performed any miracle. And the Bible is a lie and is a hoax. But if Jesus rose again from the dead, it then ends all arguments about all miracles. And you have to ask the question, who is standing with Jesus doing what he's doing? And if you have any unbiased heart, as I must, then you can only come to one conclusion. This is God himself, the creator of the universe, the God of light who created light, who has come. It's the game changer. So Jesus answers the challenge. And then finally, as I finish, you're all getting hopeful. You should be hopeful. Jesus reveals the value of following him. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Where does the full light of God shine in Jesus Christ? Well, verses 21 to 30, which we can't deal with. Jesus says that he would die on a cross for our sin and pay the penalty for our sin. Jesus, the light, is revealing God to us. And at the very heart of his coming is his death on the cross. He's quite clear about that. That's his hour. That's his moment. That's the defining moment. That's the defining moment when we become clear about how clean God is. The God who is our creator. The God that we will meet. And to meet this God, we will need to be clean. Because he is that clean. It is on that cross we discover how unclean we are. The apex of sin is saying to God, get stuffed. I will live my life, my way, in your world. And you can do nothing about it. And sin at his very heart is to say to God, who has acted in salvation, get stuffed and keep your Savior. We all have a dark side, my friends, don't we? It's not just road rage or lust or anger on the inside of our hearts that nobody else ever sees, or greed or self-centeredness. All of these things are true. But the dark side of our life actually is, God, stay out, keep out. And that is true of all of us this morning. There's just nowhere to hide. There's no dark place in which we can escape God. And so the only comfort, because light does give comfort, doesn't it, is this, that God paid for our sins on the cross. His judgment is lifted from our lives, and he offers to us eternal life. And the value of following Jesus is that we are given salvation that conquers not only our dark side and God's holy side, but our death. And you would think that Jesus would be amazingly popular because he can conquer death for us. And yet we would rather die than yield. For God so loved the world, gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus didn't come in to condemn the world. The world had already condemned itself. We have loved darkness rather than light, says John 3. Jesus came to save us from that darkness and bring us to life, the light of life. And the value of following Jesus is that we have somebody who is never in darkness and he's always in the light. You may go to a friend and ask them for some advice. You're hopefully that they're perfectly enlightened with about what they're saying to you. You discover maybe that they're not so enlightened and you have been misguided. And you suffer the consequences of that, don't you? You can't say that about Jesus. He may not tell us all that he's up to. He may leave us, if you like, in the dark as to why it must be this way at this time. But that's okay, isn't it? He doesn't have to tell us. But he has told us enough to know that he will guide us all the way through life, all the way through death, and all the way into an eternity that is full of righteousness and peace. That's all we need to know, isn't it? The value of following of Jesus is that we never walk in darkness. We have the light of life. So much easier, isn't it, when you walk up one of those long driveways that I've never really walked up, or even driven your car up, and they have lights on either side, save you going on the grass, which I would probably end up on the grass if I didn't have the lights to guide me. And we have a perfect light. It takes all the pressure off, doesn't it? Doesn't it? We have a culture that is now saying that actually we can solve all the issues on our own, and look at the pressure that that's producing emotionally in people's lives. Because we can't. Look at the realm of suffering. We can't solve it. We may want to stand up to cancer. Let's beat it. Let's kick it off the planet. And we're thankful for all that's going on in the name of research. It won't beat it. There's only one beats it. And that's Jesus. He has conquered all evil to deliver us to a new world in which there is righteousness and peace. Well, couldn't he just heal cancer now? Save a lot of suffering? Yes, he could. But he has chosen not to. But one day there will be a miraculous intervention with all of those illnesses and death itself when Jesus returns. For he is the light of the world. And those who walk in darkness have the light of life.